Hello and good day to you. This is Ryan talking to you from Heavy Equipment Radio, the podcast to let you warm up your engines, and I'm transmitting to you live without a net. Now coming up, we're going to talk about people considering coming into the business, and I also want to touch on the veterans as well. I want this podcast to serve both people well. So, if you're new or thinking of getting into heavy equipment, or maybe you've had a career change, maybe you loved it from childhood, I hope you will find this entertaining and helpful. Now, operating heavy equipment is as fun as you thought it was in childhood. It really is. The moment you become one with this machine, and it only takes a few minutes, I've let friends and family operate my equipment, and there's a look and a glow on their face or in their eyes where they get it, and they have been bitten. So, if you haven't been bitten yet, and if you haven't tried, but you get the opportunity, take it. You must take it. You've got to try this. It's a lot of fun. Now, if you've operated heavy equipment for a long time, you're one of our veterans out there, you're having fun, maybe you become a little jaded. I mean, I know when you've worked as an operator for a long time and you work with crews consistently that are green, it can get frustrating, but it's also an opportunity. You are the elder statesman of our brotherhood here. The new guys need you. They need you to keep them safe and look out for them, and most of all, inspire them to be the best, like yourselves. Get a rhythm together. Now, why would you want to get into being a heavy equipment operator? And I'm trying to talk about mainly digging machines and dump trucks at this point. I'll cover a lot, but really today I just want to get out these basic things. The great thing about being a heavy equipment operator or aspiring to be one is it doesn't take a lot of money. You don't need a college education. It's one of the few jobs, industries that can offer you that as long as you know how to read and write. Yeah, read and write, at least. It's got good pay. There's lots of work, especially if you're a skilled operator, you will be in demand. If you don't mind traveling, everybody needs a heavy equipment operator operating for them. I'm trying to find that job in Hawaii, and if I have any luck, I will let you all know. But I can't stress you enough about this career. It is satisfying. To build something and actually see the physical results are amazing. And in some cases, you literally are moving mountains and sculpting the terrain. It impresses me to this very day. I've worked in warehouses. I've worked in cubicles for decades. And being outside, regardless of the weather, is great. A little bit closer to nature, I don't know, it just is good for your soul. So from taking a break on a sunny day in the middle of a field that you're trenching a mile long in and looking out and seeing Mother Nature at its best, to clearing snow at 4 a.m. in the morning when there's nobody else around, personally, I love it. I mean, can't you tell? Now, the pathway to become a heavy equipment operator, there's plenty of schools out there and places that will give you the credentials and training required. But you can also start out in a company as a simple laborer and have them pay for whatever training that you want to aspire for. As long as you show the interest and the drive, and as long as you do the simple things well when you start out as labor, then you can continue on and go on to do great things. Whatever the route you choose, as long as you have the passion to learn and the drive and the eagerness to learn, you won't regret this decision for an instant, and you will succeed. The route you choose, well, sometimes you choose it, or it chooses you. It just depends how it happens. What type of heavy equipment do you want to operate? Well, the great thing about this, once again, is there's no bad piece to operate. It's all fun. Once you've operated one, you want to operate them all, honestly. Maybe you research and become familiar with what operators are in demand in your area and move towards that. Maybe you buy a cheap skid steer and just play with it on the weekends on your own property or out somewhere. Believe me, it won't be long before the neighbors come with paying jobs for you and only take on what you think you can accomplish. That is definitely how I started out. I had an excavator in cottage country, and I was the most liked man in my neighborhood. I never had to pay for a beer there, whether it was winter or whether it was summer. I was always having fun helping people out because I was learning my craft at the same time. Now, starting off at labor will allow you to observe and ask questions and see things that will allow you to be a better operator when the opportunity arrives. There's no wrong choice of equipment here. It's all good. They all have pros and cons, but they're all fun. They're all fun. When you get on any piece of equipment for the first time, it will be intimidating. It better be intimidating. This ensures that you respect the responsibility that you now hold. My first piece of equipment was a 1947 International Harvester with a front-end loader, cable release for the bucket. This thing was old. Well, it had big back tires and smaller front tires. I got on this thing, and it seemed 30 feet tall and unstable and hard to turn. Years later, you hop on the thing, and it seems about the 7 to 10 feet that it probably really is. So that the intimidation goes away quickly. Now, if you have gotten the job, and let's say you're all ready to go, you've got your safety vest, your hard hat, your steel-toed boots, your eye protection, very important, and of course, a lot of gloves. When you get the job, be early. Do all the checks on the machines that you'll be familiar with by that time. When they tell you what machine you're operating, look on YouTube, look for the manuals, take the manuals if they have them and read them. Walk around the machine. Take a look at everything. Make sure nothing looks like it's going to break, let's say. Then walk around the job site and get yourself a clear path to where you would be working. A lot of times they'll drop the machine off if it's delivered, and it won't be where you need it to be. And you want to take a little walk around and make sure that places are wide enough and that there's no hazards. I mean, don't get me started on rebar if you're running a rubber-tired unit, like a rubber-tire backhoe or a skid steer, on a job site, a construction site of a development. Rebar is your enemy. I always walk around and I go and I check out and throw pieces away that might have any problem. The other thing when you're new to a job is have a pen and a notepad. This will allow you to make notes on things so you don't have to ask questions twice and you're clear about the job. What I would recommend is that you write who the company is that you're working for, the name of the foreman, and his cell number. With those three things, now you can call if an emergency arises, if you have a question that arises, if someone's asking for the person in charge of the site. Also good to note down where you were and what you did. These might be very valuable to you if they come asking you questions weeks later about the site. I've certainly had this happen many a times. I also write down start and end time for the day if I have to do a timesheet at the end of the week or the end of the month or whatever. And I also write down if there were any incidents that day, the machine I was using, and vehicles repaired. That way I'm not going to get accused of having a machine break while I was operating it when my notes clearly tell me I was never operating that machine. This journal will also help with a future resume and allow you to boast in an interview of all the places you've worked at. Pull out the journal and show people what you've been doing for the last 3 or 4 years. It make you look very smart and very sharp. So a pen and a notepad on the new job. Be early, do all your checks, and write down who the foreman is and his cell phone number is really critical, really critical. Be professional. Stay away from politics. We'll touch on this stuff later. Don't criticize others, and do a lot of listening. Don't be a part of this collective conversation where everyone's talking and nobody's listening. Take advantage of downtime to improve your skills, if it's safe to do so. Or if the operator manual is in the machine, and oftentimes it is, look that up and take a read through it. Find out what these switches are that you're not really paying attention to, because it's got nothing to do with what you're doing. Keep your windows clean. I can't stress that enough. You've got to be able to see around what you're doing at all times. If you got to clean them 3 times a day, clean them 3 times a day. I'm going to go on more about that in future episodes as well. But your cab is your office. It's a reflection of you. And the piece of equipment you're operating is probably worth more than a Ferrari is. So, you know, kind of treat it as such, right? Now, quick advice for the first timer when he's on the job site is know your hazards. We will get into the details on that, but there's overhead lines. There's stuff underneath. You need locates for that to tell you what's underneath, and even then, they're often wrong. I've got some good first-hand stories from myself to talk about locates being wrong and hitting all kinds of things. Know where your guys are. And keep eye contact with people as much as possible. Keeping eye contact assures that you know that you are acknowledging people are around you. And it's very important when they walk in front of you or around you that you keep to that. And they keep to that too. When you're on the job, plan and execute beforehand. Don't just hop on the machine and start digging and scratching. Sit down with the foreman or the lead hand and decide what plan you're going to use and how you're going to execute it. I mean, I even ask them where I can park my machine when I'm taking a break to make sure I'm not blocking dump trucks or other trades that are coming in and out. When you're digging, you always have a spotter and you want to have high standards. We'll get into more of those later. In more detail, at least. Other workers, help them out if you can. Make it safe. If you got to direct traffic for them or help them back up a dump truck, even if it's not in your job description, do it and help out, as long as you're not endangering anyone. You don't want to be jumping into something that you're not qualified in, which is like setting up traffic control. Another great section. You don't want to set up traffic control unless you're being instructed. These people are trained, and believe me, that's an art form all in itself. I have to work downtown quite often, and if they don't set this thing up right, you're going to have people in the wrong spot really quickly, just as you're setting up. So maybe avoid too much of the traffic control unless it's very clear what you're doing. Also, help with the cleanup at the end of the day, too. Your front bucket, if you're operating a front-end loader or a rubber-tired hoe, or even an excavator at times, it can be a great way of helping to clean up really quickly with that bucket and throw it into a bin somewhere. Locates for stuff that's underneath. You got to assume the worst on these. You have to look at them carefully. You have to make sure you understand them. That usually means making sure someone else with you completely understands them as well. We'll go into a whole show on locates. Oftentimes, they use a hydrovac to expose all the stuff that's underneath for you. So at least when you're digging, you can not only see them, but you can also see what direction they're heading if they're coming into your work area. So a hydrovac is a very interesting subject, and we'll get more into that later. Labor will expose pipes and sensitive stuff. So when you get close, rather than scraping it right off with your bucket, oftentimes the guys will jump in the trench. If the stuff is bedded in gravel, it makes it easy to know you're a foot away. And these guys will expose it for you, making everyone's job easier. Trenching, you've got to slope your trenches. If it's a meter deep, it's got to be a meter wide. If it's 10 feet deep, it's got to be 10 feet wide. You have to do this when people are in the trench. Cages can also be used when you can't slope, and this is what we often run into in the city work and residential work. Cages are very important, another thing we'll discuss much more in the future. As for safety, that's a long topic that we're going to get into and talk about the various aspects of it. But to be brief, as an introductory type of thing, and not to want to scare anybody away from anything, have your vest, have your hard hat, have your eye protection, your steel-toed boots, you're covered. You'd like to have gloves and a lot of other things we'll get into later, but have those four things: vest, hard hat, steel-toed boots, and eye protection. Regular eye glasses are not proper eye protection unless they are properly approved. Okay, when you're operating the machine, be aware of your swing areas, front and behind you. Be aware of everyone walking around you. Be really aware of what's overhead. Underneath, we're talked about locates and exposing stuff. There's also things like hoses that are breaking on your machine. Spot the most important ones, at least to start when you begin, and look at them, the ones that are turning the bucket and curling things and stuff. Make sure they're not leaking. Leakages are not put up with a lot on the workspaces, depending on where you're working. But often the places that I'm working at, leaks are not permitted. There's something called a spill kit, and we'll get into more of that later as well. The most important thing in terms of safety is to be aware of the people around you. I don't care if you don't like them by the way they look or the way they've acted or anything. You do not want to hurt anybody in the work site. It's not funny. It's not a joke. Dusting people when you dump a bucket of, you know, dry dirt and stuff out of your bucket into the wind so it blows back on them is not something you're going to be doing on the job site. So don't even think of it. If you're getting emotional and you're getting aggressive, get out of the machine and take a break and realize that everybody has family. Everyone has someone who loves them at home, and they have their children, and we all want to get home to that at the end of the day. It doesn't matter who they are or how they've been acting. Make sure that your machine, when it swings and operates, is not going to hurt anybody or get out of the business. Don't even think about it. If you think you're going to sleep one day and just go through the paces, and when you're backing up that dump truck that you've done 100 times before in the same goddamn spot, you will find that there will be trouble that day. 1 second of not paying attention can cost you dearly. And someone else dearly. Also, weird things happen on job sites. So when you have an incident that occurs, and we'll get into more detail later as well, that happens that you say, boy, if someone had been standing there, they would have been in trouble. Make a mental note of that and put it in your mind as a cautionary tale. And when you see the same thing unfold in the future, and it will, tell that person, move out of the way. That way, they don't have to jump out of the way, or worse, when it happens again. And it will. Stuff just happens. An excavator on uneven ground, or even ground to begin with, that starts to rock as you load it. That swing can go from being a foot of play to 10 feet of play, and you can knock people's heads off just by your excavator rocking when you're swinging it around, loading dump trucks or whatever. So beware of weird things happening. Correct bad habits and behavior. If you see other people with bad habits and behavior, correct them. And if someone corrects you, thank them for it. We're all looking out for each other. You know, load a dump truck gently at first to kind of bed it so it's a little softer when you're bringing the brig rocks and stuff. The guy might be drinking coffee in there, and he really appreciates it if you start him off gently. And familiarize yourself with incident reports. Get your first aid. Know where your muster points are, your eyewash stations, first aid kits, and fire extinguishers. Also, always have 911 or what emergency number is always a great first call. You're not a minor player in this thing. If you call 911, they're going to take you seriously. Now, roughhousing, violence, verbal abuse, threats, that's unacceptable. I don't care who you are. If you see it, you stop it. Call the police. Just call the police. I mean, ideally, what you would like to do is to just report the incident to someone on the site, one of your superiors, and they will take care of it from there. But if things get out of hand quickly, and they can, just call the police and then try to locate other people to settle down the situation. It's never a bad move, and you're never going to get in trouble for calling them if it's a valid situation. Anyways, I don't want to take too long on this episode. So what I want to do is talk about future episodes that I want to have. I want to have tales of the strange things that have happened or that you've dug up. Remote locations you've worked at that were beautiful or terrifying. Machine-specific episodes. Ground disturbance, I think, is a big deal. We all know safety is a big deal, and I'm going to get into that ad nauseum, but I'm going to try and make it more fun and just have it make sense. I want to have an episode on how to bring out the inner artist in you. When you're operating this equipment, there is a lot of artistic creativity that's involved in operating them, and that's a very interesting aspect I don't think too many people talk about. Also, want to do episodes on setting goals and pathways to them. You don't have to operate someone else's machine all your life, and you don't have to work for somebody else all your life. You can own your own machine, and you can be your own operator. You can be the owner of the business and not operate the machine. There's a lot of pathways to different things through this industry. I want to talk about machine maintenance, of course. I want to do a big deal about conflict resolution and tell you some firsthand experiences where I had surprising results when I handled it calmly. So conflict resolution, I think, is very important in our industry. No more yelling on the job sites unless somebody's in deep trouble. I'd also like to have stories on running really old equipment. If you're watching Gold Rush Alaska, Tony Beats has resurrected this old dredge. And I find that incredibly interesting. That's the reason I watch that show, is that I'm so... It's such a great machine. You've got to see it if you haven't. Go check out this old gold mining dredge that he has successfully brought back to life. And so far, it looks like it's working good for him. I want to do bits on mistakes. I want to do perspectives from general contractors to manufacturers, reps, to owners and operators. I want as many contributions to this as I can to make this a great and interesting show. So more than ever, I want to hear from you, the listener to this podcast. Thank you for taking the time and listening to it. They're only going to get better. And I hope I can make this useful and a little bit of fun. I know this one isn't going to be all that much fun, but we're going to get into the fun side of this stuff too. And that's one thing I want to emphasize most is that it's a great career. You're going to love it. It's going to treat you well. And, you know, remember your machine is, like I said before, a Ferrari. It's got a lot of power, a lot of responsibility, and it's sure worth a lot of money. Shepherd the people around you and protect them by operating it safely. Now, I've done enough pontificating for the moment, so I'm going to ask you once again to send me your emails at heavyequipmentradio@yahoo.com and give me your input, give me your criticisms, but I really want your input. I want the wisdom from the older operators there. I want their stories. Maybe you can record it and send me the recording. I'd be happy to play it if that works out. Believe me, you don't want to piss off the guy running the backhoe, people. So thanks very much for listening. Always keep eye contact with people. And for God's sake, do not take 20 minutes to figure out how to do a 10-minute job 5 minutes faster.